Joshua chapter number 3, book of Joshua this morning, chapter number 3. Beginning in verse number 1, it says, And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass, after 3 days, that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said to the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Before the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you in the Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. It shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, or the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, And as they that bare the ark were come into Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeretan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people and out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priests' feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said to them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests, in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord into battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come out up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto dry land, and the waters of Jordan returned to their place, and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it is a mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this, your book, this, your word. We pray you might bless work in our hearts today. We ask for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God in these moments. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. In general, people are afraid to walk where they've never walked before. As I look out over this group of folks, if I were to ask you to stand, and I thought about doing this, and ask you to switch sides this morning, some of you would be very uncomfortable. If I had you sitting completely opposite in the same row, you would feel very strange. For you have sat where you have sat since you have sat there forever and ever. A few in our midst, you will change a little bit from time to time, and very few among you will switch week after week. But we are creatures of habit, are we not? Most likely, you travel the same routes day after day. You do the same routines day in and day out. And we are people who are so often fearful of treading a new path. In verse number 4 of our text, it says, Ye have not passed this way heretofore. Though they had been in the wilderness, death had surrounded them for 40 years. Though they were headed for the promised land, yet it was a place where they had never been before. No doubt there were fears within their heart and mind as they looked across the swollen river, as they remembered the story of cities that were high-walled from the spies who had recently been in Jericho. No doubt they had heard talk from ages gone by of the spies who had 40 years before and came back and said that they were giants in the land, and that some had chariots of iron. No doubt there were fears in their hearts and their minds, and the Lord is now about to prepare them to cross over where they've never passed before. Stepping out into a new venture or taking on a new ministry without any background often seems very daunting to individuals. And yet God is promising us, as He promised these, that He would walk before us. God doesn't want us downstream where the waters of provision will cease. God does not want us upstream where the fears of rising water will overwhelm us. But God wants us following Him, following that ark through even the flooded waters of Jordan. What God is about to do is really to cement their faith, to cause them to believe that He would be with them and take them through this conquest of the promised land. They were about to enter into a land of seven tribes of men and women who were fearsome, those who were anti-God, those whom God, we find, had His wrath filled to the fullest and was going to use this nation to bring judgment upon. But here's a people who were not warlike. Here's a people who had wandered for 40 years. Here's a people who had not been taught in warfare. And yet, we find God saying, I want you to cross this river. Not at a time when it's at low where they could run back across, but a time when once they crossed, it would be difficult to come back over, especially as we find without a miracle of God. He is cutting off, if you please, the lifeline. All must follow across. All must go and follow after the Lord. I want us to notice this morning this way in which they had never passed before. And I want us to notice a few things because, first of all, it is a way of consolation. God consoles us through the way. First and foremost, what we find is God is leading the way. The Ark of the Covenant would set in the tabernacle, and it would be in the position of the center of the camp. God had so laid out that when they erected the tabernacle, and that Ark of the Covenant was within that tabernacle, within the Holy of Holies, that the children of Israel would have three tribes to the west, three tribes to the east, three to the north, and three to the south. There in the center of all of these people would be where they could meet God. Now that's picturesque. For God is near at hand. He ought to be the center of our lives. But on this occasion, God says to these people, I will lead you across these waters. As the Ark of the Covenant was borne by the priests, that was a symbol of God being in front of the people, no longer at the center, but now leading to cross over. The enemy does not see an army coming. He does not see the 40,000 who are armed. But the enemy, first of all, sees the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant. It is as though God is saying to those on the other side, it is me that you have been in defiance to, and it's me that you will now have to deal with as God leads His people across. May I also remind you that every battle that we go into, it is always the Lord's first. Amen? And it's His battle, and it is He whom we ought to well remember goes before us. I like the Scripture found in Romans 8:28, referred to in Sunday school this morning. He says, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. God is the one who leads us and takes us in the way. This way, by the way, is not new to God. Consider that as He parts these waters, that many centuries previous, at the very beginning, God parted the waters that were below from the waters which were above. Remember, 40 years earlier, as they crossed the Red Sea out of Egypt, God parted the waters. God has been down this road before. He is the one who is, by the way, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, acquainted with our ways. He has been where you and I will be. He has experienced in this life that which we will experience. I'm thankful that my Bible tells me this. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He goes on and says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, thank God. He is the one whom we can go to. He has been there before. And so when God is leading us, He has been there. He is leading us now, and we need not to fear. And when those priests put their feet in the waters, and the waters began to back up,
and build back some 14 miles to the city of Adam, we find that the people then had the privilege to walk over on dry ground. Not only did the waters back up and disappeared, but the water in the ground had disappeared. It was not mud they flowed through, but it was dry ground upon which they trod over. When my God takes us through, He takes us through. Amen? And He is the one that we can trust. All the ground might be new. And that which God may be leading you into might be where you've not passed before. But oh my goodness, how would you rather be, or would you rather be a blind horse that is following that harness that's going round and round in the mill day in and day out? Thank God for that which is variance in our lives and the experiences He gives us. Thank God He leads us day by day into new experiences. And God leads us to new people to see and to talk to. And God gives us different areas to minister in the lives of others. And He leads us and consoles us along the way. May I also remind you that it's a way of direction. It is in this place, at this time, that they needed to listen carefully to the instructions of God. God told them exactly what to do. God summons them, first of all, in verse number 5, notice what He says, sanctify yourselves. They're about to enter the waters, so to speak, but God says, wash yourself ahead of time. For you're not going to wash in the Jordan River. You're going to walk over on dry land. He said, I want you to sanctify yourself. Set yourselves apart for the work of God. And then He instructs them to follow the priests, to follow those who are bearing the Ark of the Covenant. Basically, God is saying, follow me across this river. God directs us in every step of the way. May I remind you, don't try to get ahead of God. But may I also remind you, don't hesitate with His leadership. God wants us to follow and to follow close. God doesn't want us downstream. God doesn't want us upstream. God wants us right with Him. But also, I want you to think about this, because this is the way of exciting expectations. After this experience, they ought to be excited to expect God to conquer for them. After they have walked across on dry ground, after they've seen the flooded waters, and now the ability to go across, they ought to be excited. Hey, if God can do that, God can do the next step too. When we come to Jericho, we can do that as well, because God is our leader. May I remind you that when they got across on the other side, God says to them basically, the waters can come, you're not going back. I've got you here for a purpose. And if you're going back, you're on your own, buddy. You're swimming. You're going to deal with the flooded waters of Jordan. But on this side, you have me to lead you. What an exciting place it is in. But if there's something I brought you to this morning, I hope that you can see. Go with me to verse number 7. Verse number 7. I want you to see something very tremendous. Chapter number 3 and verse number 7. It says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. If I remember correctly, the year was 2002. We had almost gotten to Denver, Colorado in the month of June. I get a phone call from my daughter who was already there at church. And she says, Dad, bring everybody to church. There's fire in the mountains. They're fearful that Silver State Baptist Youth Camp is going to be burnt to the ground. They're going to bring you to the church and going to stay the night there.
and we'll have to head back home. Be no camp this year. And as we drove into that parking lot that year and parked at the church, and we put all the young people in the gymnasium and some of us soft ones, we went and rented a motel room. And we spent the night in Denver. The next day we got up and we headed back home, unaware of all the things that were taking place. Brother Miser had just become the pastor of the church, First Baptist Church in Englewood, Colorado. He had not been there but just a few months. And now they're facing the greatest tragedy the church has ever faced. For nearly 50 years, they had operated that camp on that hillside. It had been their vision, it had been their baby, if you so please. And now fire was within 5 miles and spreading quickly. That night, he got people together and they got on their knees before God and began to pray. That night, nobody but God's people knew when the winds from nowhere came and blew it to the south. Soot had covered the camp. It was white. That week, as they were able to get back to the campgrounds, and they walk onto the campgrounds, after hearing the reports and the men coming up to clean it up, another wind had come, and it was clean. That experience under the leadership of Brother Miser put him in a solid position of leadership in the hearts and the minds of some men who were very independent-minded men. Men whom Brother Wells did not think that another man would ever really be able to lead. God did that week. The story we read here is the story of a man who is now going to lead them into the promised land. Moses was a strong leader. They did not look well to this young upstart. But God, in the process of this week, magnified Joshua. In the New Testament, the name Joshua is Jesus. Jesus. You see, it's through the waters. It's through the difficulties. It's through those things that seem absolutely impossible that now we can see Jesus. You see, it's not until we come to that spot in our hearts and our lives where we recognize that our sin has separated us from a holy God that we see Jesus. Jesus is the one who can carry us from the arms of Satan into the arms of God. It's Jesus. And what we find through whatever the problem might be later as Christians, as we see the waters and somehow, because we're following the ark, we find ourselves going across. What's it do? It magnifies Jesus. You see, brethren, ye have not passed this way heretofore, Because Jesus wants to take us through. He wants us to recognize that if we're going to have the victorious life, we've got to pass through the floods. He wants us to recognize that we've passed through the floods and the Jordan has closed on the other side. He's cut it all off. The cross before me, the world behind me. Now we can look to Jericho. Now we can see a city that's walled. They are not defenseless. We can see the problems that come into our lives. And it seems as though they cannot be handled by us. But now when God says, I want you to march around the city once every day. I want you to look at this and get a very good picture of this in your mind. I want you to see every brick upon every brick. I want you to notice how high these walls are. I want you to notice that embankment that goes up to the walls. I want you to see day after day how impossible it is, because 7 days from now, when you're worn from walking around it 7 times that day, I will burst those walls. And the excavation has found the walls fell outward because God knocked them over. What's it do? Magnifies Jesus. He's the one who does it. He's the one that wants us to step into the water way down a little bit deeper. The song goes on to say, wet your feet in the water of His love. Step into the water. Way down a little bit deeper. Come join in just singing praises to the Lamb. We have exciting expectations ahead. Oh, are there difficulties? Yeah. What are they for? What's it say there? To magnify Thee in the sight of Israel. To magnify our Savior. To magnify Him in the eyes of the lost sinner who realizes, hey, I cannot do this myself. There is no way of salvation. There is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's only Jesus. We come to the spot where we recognize when He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Now He's exalted. On that day in February of 1966, I sat in the classroom. I had a book open before me. In that book were many chapters that had been written by a man named Martin Luther several hundred years before. Though he be dead, yet he speaketh. As I read the words of Martin Luther, and I saw what he was trying to explain from the Word of God. Very simply, he was saying, the law of God condemns you. You cannot live it. There's not a commandment that you have not broken. You're condemned. But then he explained the grace of God. He explained that Jesus Christ came to this world, and though He did not sin, He took the punishment of sin, which is death, and He died for me. And I saw the words copied from the very print of the Word of God, for you saved by grace. About 1:15 in the afternoon, though I'd known who Jesus was, now He becomes very, very real. I cry out to Him. Because I see who I am, but I see who He is. And I cry out to Him. And He reaches down His hand of grace and pulls me out of the miry clay and sets me upon the solid rock. He saves my hell-deserving soul. Jesus no longer was just a person to me. He's now my God. He is now the one who loved me in spite of me. And everything that happens in life since that time to this, all the waters that He's allowed me to pass through have somehow parted. Somehow parted. So you've never had troubles? We're talking about troubles. Not going around them, going through them. The old black preacher preached on the subject and it came to pass. Why? Because He leads us through. Do you know what that does? I wonder what's happening next. I wonder what's going to happen next. You mean, preacher, it's all going to get better? No, it's probably going to get worse because He's going to take me through some bigger troubles. But I'm looking for the greatest, most spectacular of all the waters. Come up hither. Gone. To be in the presence of the Lord. Father, today, work in our hearts. Oh God, I pray for the one this morning who sits here without